Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 19. And starting in verse 12, the Word of God says, "A certain man, a certain nobleman, went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. Thou wicked servant, thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I did not lay down, and reaping what I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither, and slay them before me." Turn with me also, please, to Psalm 87. And in verse 2, the Word of God says, "The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." It doesn't say that God loves Zion more than Jacob. It's that God loves the gates more than the dwellings. God loves the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. What is Zion? Zion is God's redeemed people. It's not that he loves God's redeemed people, Jacob is the old man, more than the old man. What he loves is the pathway to redemption more than the dwellings of the old man, more than the places where the old nature finds its rest and its portion. There is a place where the old nature finds its rest and its portion. These are the dwellings of the old nature. God loves the pathway that leads us to being, in our experience, the redeemed, more than he loves those dwelling places for the old nature. Now, as a believer, this is a profound meaning to me. Because when God gave in the parable the pound, he gave a pound to each of his servants. Now, that is not to suggest that God gives to each person equally. He does not. But in this parable, he gave a pound to each servant, and he wanted to see what the servant would do with what he was given. And one servant produced more, and one servant produced less, but still produced something for the master. And the other servant did not know the character of the master. Now what I find interesting was, he didn't say, I didn't feel like doing it. He didn't say anything. He said, I didn't know your character, and therefore I would not serve you. Apart from knowing God's character, I cannot serve Him. Apart from knowing God's character, the place where I live in this is in the dwelling of Jacob. It wasn't until Jacob wrestled with God in the wilderness. It wasn't until God struck down Jacob's natural strength in his thigh that God changed Jacob to Israel. Zion is Israel redeemed. So what are we talking about here? It's not so much what I'm doing that is the issue. It's that I know His character in what I am doing. You see, I can do one thing and have it be of no profit. Or I can do the very same thing and have it be of great profit. And the question is, do I know His character? So if I know His character, no matter what I lay my hand to, and that character is revealed, well then it's if I lift Christ up, then all men are drawn to Christ. But I can do the very same things apart from His character, and it is of no profit. Now, each one of those servants received a call. The call was very specific. And God told them, and they each received the same call in this case, and God told them, occupy till I come. Now, two of them did, and they occupied because they knew His nature. One of them did not know His nature, and he did not occupy. In order for me to occupy, and in other words, in order for me to be in a place where I am entering through the gates of Zion, if you will, if I am entering into the place where God's nature is produced in me, I have to turn to His nature. Now, I can be in a place where I do the very same things but not have turned to the nature, and it's no value. So the question is, what do you do with what you have? And whose character is it that you're doing it in? Turn with me, please, to John 21. In verse 17, the Word of God says, He saith unto him the third time, and this is talking to Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, Simon here in the original language did not say, you know I love you. That's not a good translation. In the original language, he said, you know I have nothing more than a conditional affection for you. He didn't use the word agape. Jesus said, do you agape me? In other words, are you patient and kind toward me and my plan? By the way, have you ever realized that you can love God? And what does it mean if you loved God? It means that you are patient and kind toward God. You are not seeking your own with God. You're not jealous or envious of Him in His presence. But you are patient and kind toward God. What does that mean, I am patient and kind toward God? Well, it's very simple. I abide in His calling. I endure under the trials of my faith. I have an attitude in my heart that is patient toward Him and not hasty or hostile. I don't get resentful because of the process. I am enduring with patience in the process. And so, I become very kind toward God. I don't react at Him as He's doing things that I do not understand. I embrace Him as I go through what I don't understand. Because I am patient and kind toward God. And here, God is talking to Peter. And He says to Peter, do you love me more than you love your fish? And he says, no, Lord. I simply love you with a conditional affection. I love these fish with patience and kindness. How often would they go out into the sea and wait all night? But yet when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, they could not wait for 1 hour. Isn't this kind of like what we are? The things that are of our natural man, of our natural preferences, of our natural life, we are funny this way. We will wait for however it takes for that which is natural. But for that which is of God, we will not wait an hour. And we will not be patient and kind sometimes towards God. Now, He doesn't change toward me when I get like that. And over here, He's telling Peter something. He says, Peter, do you love me more than these fish? And Peter says, no. All I have toward you is a natural, conditional affection. And Jesus says to him, then feed my sheep. Now, this is a very strange response if you think about it. Shouldn't Jesus say, I love you exactly with the type of love that you have toward me? And then Jesus say, feed my sheep? No, what he is saying, I'll take what you have, Peter, and I'll use it. So long as you are willing to give to God that you have, God is willing to use it. How often do we try to disqualify ourselves because we have not yet reached the point of perfection? Well, I've got news for you. If you're waiting to reach the point of perfection, you'll never get there. You'll get there when you go home to be with the Lord, and then it doesn't really much matter anymore. No, we take what we have. We take our little 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we sanctify them to God. In other words, those 5 loaves and those 2 fishes were not consumed on that little kid's hunger. They were given to God. They said, God, you take what I have. I don't have much. And God says, you may not have much, little kid, but you have enough. You have enough that there is something there that can be sanctified in your life, and I am more than willing to use it if you are more than willing to have it sanctified. God is like that with us. I may feel like I don't have much to offer, but if what I have in my life, if I am willing to have God sanctify it, He's willing to use it. What does it mean that I have God sanctify it? I let God set my life apart unto Him. And even though I may be a basket case, I'm a sanctified basket case. I'm a basket case that has an eternal plan and an eternal purpose. And so long as I am willing that God should use a basket case, then God is more than willing to use it. This is my life. What do I have? I don't have much. I really don't. I don't have much. I'm a pastor and I don't like talking to people. Go figure. But you know what? I'm willing to let God sanctify what I have. And in that I have, I don't choose a natural preference. In that I have, I don't choose a natural plan. You know what the natural plan would have been for my life? Hide yourself in some beautiful scenic place, never talk to anybody, and spend your life taking pictures. Wow, there's eternal purpose. You sanctify what you have. Let God take it, sanctify it, and use it. This is why I could say to Peter, when you are mature, Peter, Another will gird you and take you where you would not. Because if you are willing to give God that little pittance that you may happen to have, and you are willing for Him to sanctify it and set you apart from the world and pour out an enormous, eternal, phenomenal plan on you, then He'll use you. And it doesn't matter that you don't even love Him. It doesn't matter that you don't even believe Him all the time. It doesn't matter that you don't always trust Him. You see, He didn't say to Peter, get it right. He said to Peter, respond to my call. That was all. He didn't even tell him necessarily how to go about doing it. He just said, respond. So long as I'm willing to respond, He's willing to act. So the question is, am I willing to respond? Am I willing for Him to take my little two fish? Am I willing to take the fact that I don't really love Him? I just have an affection. Am I willing to let Him use that? How many people withhold because they are self-conscious of what they don't have? I mean, if you're going to be self-conscious, at least be self-conscious of what you do have. Why be self-conscious of what you don't have? I mean, then there's no end to it. But how many people are willing to withhold because of their self-consciousness regarding what they don't have? I don't have the intellect, I don't have the talent, I don't have the ability, I don't have whatever. And God says, you don't need it. You see, it's not in what I have. It's in who I have. It's not in what I have. It's in the condition of the heart before God. It's not in the production of the outward. It's in the condition of the inward. See, in Luke 6:45, the Word of God says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I have just a pittance, but I have enough in me to say God, then I have enough. There are many people who have the ability in their natural self without the fruit of the Spirit. And in those people, although they may have a religious production, there is no love in it. There is no kindness and patience. There is only self-motivation. But even if I am a basket case and I have the love of God, then it doesn't matter. Out of the good treasure comes forth that which is good. It didn't say how big the treasure is. It was talking about the quality, the nature of the treasure. Do you understand that? It's not about what you can do. It's about what you're willing. You can't do anything apart from Christ. But are you willing? That's the question God asks. Are you willing? And so long as you're willing, there is no end. Your end will be your willingness. So what are you willing? Are you willing to go as far as God will take you? Or is there a point where you're not willing any longer? You see, He never said anything about what you have. As a matter of fact, He told the rich young ruler, sell everything you have. Why did He want him to sell it? So he wouldn't rely on it. Sell everything you have. And then be willing. Then follow the Savior. And it'll take you where you wouldn't expect. But the plan is His. Now, I can take me where I would expect, and then the plan is mine. And God leaves that up to me. And so he said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" "No, Lord. Not more than these fish." You saw that. Peter never denied the fish. And he knew it. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" "No, I just have an affection." "Then I'll take your affection. If that's all you have, I'll take it. If you're willing for me to sanctify it, I'll take it." Then there's no end. What happened to Peter after that point? Well, the next thing that happened to Peter, because he was willing, he preached the first message of the church age. Now, Peter wasn't any different a guy than he was right here. What changed? His focus. That was all. Nothing else about Peter changed. It was just the focus. He became willing. See, when I'm humble, it simply means I'm willing toward God. That's its manifestation. I'm willing toward God. "Lord, my will, no, your will be done." There's your humility. It's that simple. I don't exalt myself in my relationships or my dealings or my circumstances or whatever. I'm simply willing toward Him. I don't live in a self-consciousness. I'm simply willing toward Him. It's that simple. You see, it's not what I have, and it's not what I can do. In Matthew 25:14, the Word of God says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to the one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability." That's it right there. Not everybody receives an equal portion. You know who gave them the portion? The Master did. He didn't give everyone an equal portion. How many believers look at the other and say, "I'm not like that person"? And God says, "I didn't make you that way. That's why you're not like him. If I made you like him, you would have been like him." But he says, according to the portion that we receive, that's what we use. So maybe all you get is what in your own estimation seems small, but that's what you use. And if you are willing for that little bit to be sanctified to God, then the meaning of that little bit becomes huge, because it becomes eternal. Don't despise what seems small, because there is no such thing if God gave the portion. I remember one time we were on outreach. We were there with a woman who was in a wheelchair, and she couldn't move, she couldn't even speak. She was a quadriplegic. And she wanted to go on outreach. Go figure. And we were talking to a guy, he says, "I don't need God," and this woman laughs at him. And that was her portion. All she had was the ability to laugh. She didn't even have the ability to utter words. But she had the ability to laugh, and she used it. That guy was so convicted by her laughter, he got saved. Now, I don't know what happened to him, but can you imagine if he was perhaps another soul winner? Or even if he wasn't, if he was just a soul that's worth more than the whole world. She used her 1 talent. And she let God sanctify that. And it became eternal. Don't ever say to yourself, "I'm not enough," or "I don't have enough." What did God tell Jeremiah? "Don't despise your youth." Don't say, "I'm not enough, I don't have enough, I can't." You know what? If you say I can't to God, you know what God will say to you? No kidding. I didn't expect you to do it. Isn't that kind of a self-exaltation, I can't, God? You never thought we could? Oh, you must think more highly of you than I do. Of course you can't. If you could, you'd be disqualified. Of course you can't. Take what you got and sanctify it. And then it'll become eternal. If you look at it by sight, it will have no meaning. I mean, if you look at it by sight, all I'm doing is just talking to you. Or if you look at it by sight, all Joanna is doing is playing the piano or singing. Oh, but could you sense the anointing? Can you sense the visitation of angels? It happens. No. Take what you have and be willing. That's how you live with God. You take what you have and you're willing. And that's the end of the story. That's all you need to do. Amen?